It's not our idea, this is his idea, God's idea, is the only hope for mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of his word. So you cannot do God's law. Only God can do God's law. But God is going to live inside of you so that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which indwells you, enables you, strengthens you to do that law. That's why the blood forgives our sin, but it doesn't take it away. But the Spirit, that is the presence of God, that is how our sin is actually taken away from us. We are transformed by beholding Him. So when you behold the Lord in the beauty of His holiness, you see His mercy, you see His holiness, you see His power, you see His might, you see His glory. That's how you're changed. We are changed from glory to glory as beholding Him. And so the more you look at yourself and your circumstances, you will fall into foolishness. But the more you look at the Lord, the truth will set you free. And you will be constantly, continually, and forever happy, free, a lover. Not just someone who believes, but someone who actually lives. Faith active, faith working, faith energizing in love.
Amen.
And the problem with the church today is we have faith but no love. So there's something wrong with our faith. So what we need is to have that kind of faith that actually produces such a change, not that the church would see it, but that the world would see it. We have not yet impacted the world spiritually, and therefore we have not impacted the world socially, economically, and politically. And unless you do, you misunderstand the kingdom. This kingdom is not just to let the world go on as it is. It's to convict this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And because of that, we Christians are to be the salt and the light. There's no salt in the world without us. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men. And that's the problem today in the church, is our faith is good for nothing if it doesn't issue in love. That is, that we're led by the Spirit. So you are the light of the world, but if you put a bushel over it, it doesn't matter how much love you have if you put a bushel over it, and the world can't see it. It's not for you. It's not for the church. It's not for God. It's for the world. That the world might repent, that they might see through their folly and their evil and their shallowness and their waste. This world is desolate, and it absolutely needs us. Now, if you think, well, I'm going to be humble about that. No, no, no. It's not your decision. God wants you to be the light and the salt of this world, apart from which there is none. And they put their light on a lampstand so that it might be seen by all in the house, which is not you. You're not the house. You're the light. That is, Christ in you enlightens you so this world can see like a city set on a hill. You can look up and see the church has not yet accomplished what God intended for it. Therefore, we have failed to meet the blueprint of the kingdom of God, which is not to believe in Jesus, but to believe in Jesus in such a way that it transforms us, in such a way that we impact this world, in such a way that they repent and they believe and they obey. So the best is yet to come, and God has saved the best to the last. Now, the message today is not about what's coming. It's about what has been. Last year, God spoke to me on December 26th, and He said, enlarge the place of your tent. To enlarge the place of your tent, you got to picture a Bedouin. He has one of these big black tents out in the middle of the desert, and it's got its cords and its stakes and little interior rooms and so on and so forth. They set up curtains and so on. Now, when God says enlarge the place of your tent, He means in 2010, which now is gone, you were to make room by enlarging your tent. Make it bigger. What for? Well, because he's going to do something. And now in 2011, He's going to do what He said, if you enlarge the place of your tent, He would do. Now, if you enlarge the place of your tent and He doesn't do anything, then He's a liar. But he will, and he told us because he's about to do something and to bless beyond measure. Enlarge the place of your tent. Sing, O barren, you that hath not borne, you that did not bring forth, you did not bear. Cry aloud and sing greatly. Why? Because you didn't have any children. That's why. You see, when you have children, you don't need this song. This song is only for the desolate. This song is only for those that never produced anything. This is the song of the barren woman who sowed and sowed and sowed and sowed and nothing happened. She served God and no blessing came. They were Christians for 2,000 years and very little change took place. Now, sing! If that's the case, sing, O barren! You that has not borne any fruit that the world would see. Now, I know we bear fruit for ourselves, but I'm talking about the fruit that the kingdom is meant to impact and transform and convict this world. Now, so the fact that you have not borne fruit is good, because this song is for you. This is your song. This is your barren woman song. Now, that is neat. I hope some of you are barren. In other words, I hope you started out being a good Christian, spoke about it, told your relatives how wonderful it is to be with Jesus, and then produced zip. And they noticed that. They looked at you and said, "You're a Christian? Oh, this is Christianity?" And you went and you asked Jesus, start producing. Get going. I've been reading the Bible to no effect. I'm not impacting the world yet. My family doesn't even believe that, you know, they don't even want me to bring out my Bible. They don't want me to pray at Thanksgiving and Christmas and every time we gather together. They're irritated with me. Actually, they think I'm a phony and a hypocrite and a liar. And it'd be better if I just would be more kind of normal. Instead of being so enthusiastic about a Jesus that hadn't done zip for you. Will he do for me what he did for you? Will I look like you when I'm done? So Christians have not yet impacted the world in such a way that they're calling us. Hey, what do you have? You have a secret. You have light that we don't have. You have salt that hasn't lost its savor. You are able to convict us, and we are convicted. You know, people ought to walk in the church and be convicted just by walking in. Just by hearing our worship and seeing our love, or just sensing the power of the Spirit. But unfortunately, this is not a cause of depression, it's just a fact. Unfortunately, Christians look very little different from the world. They haven't really shown that we think any differently, we divorce any differently. You know, it looks like we just do the same thing they do. They defend themselves when they're attacked. They don't love their wives any more than we do. It just doesn't seem like there's a big difference. Why are we Christians? What have we accomplished? Where is our impact on this world? Sing, O barren, you have borne not, did not bring forth. And then he said, sing loudly, cry aloud. Let them know that you're excited that you have borne no fruit. Excited to be desolate, barren. It's wonderful when we haven't done anything. Amen? That's what this song is for. Why? Because God, because God, because God, because God hath made a promise concerning you. And it wasn't, if you sow, you'll reap. The promise was, if you sow, you will not reap until I've killed you off. How many know that God wants to kill you off before he uses you? Because otherwise he might bless you and then you'd use your blessing to be proud. I know that hadn't happened to anybody here, but it could. So by having other people that are really less spiritual flourish, that's a great thing. So you see the contrast. If you sow for the Lord, you will not expect to get an immediate harvest. You know, it's hard farming. It takes about 5 years for a farmer to actually redevelop his soil, forget the crop, just to redevelop his soil. Now, you can throw in a lot of chemicals to try to artificially bring it forth, but you could also sow that on the parking lot. But if you want to be a good farmer, it takes a long time to build your foundation. And then it's only at that point, even after 5 years, that you even begin to get any kind of a real crop if you do it right, if you do it without artificially destroying the soil and destroying the crop and modifying the agricultural beast or grain. Leave it. The way God made it, you cannot improve upon it. You see, the problem is not the seed. The problem is the sower. The problem is not the cow. The problem is the grower. It's the one who husbands the cow. The problem is always the farmer. It's not the soil or anything else. You can overcome any kind of soil. You can overcome any kind of soil. Doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be stones. You can overcome it. But you have the knowledge. You have to have the knowledge and the patience to keep sowing. And, you know, give me the parking lot out here. I can show you how to grow things. You can grow anything, anywhere. God has so many crops that are ideally situated for any part of the world. You can sow up in Alaska. You can sow in a desert. You can sow anywhere. But you have to have the knowledge and the skill and the ability and the capacity to be a true farmer. Now, God gives the increase. God's the one that gives the growth. And what God wants us to do as believers is to sow and then realize the first thing he's going to do is not let you reap what you just sowed. Or maybe you'll just reap enough to stay alive. But you're not really impacting the world. So if you are barren, happy are you. Happy is the one here who has not accomplished for the kingdom of God. Has not accomplished for the kingdom of God, we're talking. You have not accomplished anything for God. Happy are you. Sing this song. Woohoo! You see that? Now, if you're a great Christian, you don't need to sing that song. If you're already impacting everybody and everybody is, you know, they repent at once and, you know, they just, oh, what a blessing to have you around and so on. If you're already there, don't sing this song. This is only for those that have sown for 20, 30 years and have taken nothing. Remember one night, the disciples were fishing all night. That's when you take fish. And what did they come up with? Zip. Nothing. And he said, you know, how's it going, guys? Not good. We sowed all night, and we tried to, you know, throw our nets down and bring up something, but we just got seaweed and some crabs and so on, normal Christians. And that's all. But Jesus, who stood on the shore, said, oh, well, it's now noon, is it not? The worst time of the day to catch fish, because they're not here by the surface or looking. So you won't catch them. He said, okay, throw your net down on the other side. Said, Jesus, you know a lot about heaven. You know zip about fishing. We toiled all night. We did everything you're supposed to do, and we took nothing. Get it? But, you know, look, you're Jesus, and we got to humor you a little bit. We're fishermen. You don't know anything about fishing. You know a lot about saving people, but nothing about fishing. Nevertheless, we'll throw it over to humor you. That's okay. They throw it over, and what happens is not only do they catch a huge catch, it's so big they have to call another boat out, and they put it all in there, and that boat is sinking, and then they have to try to put it all in their boat, and it's just too much. You see, if you do it God's way, and you follow the certainty of the Word, you don't need the security of this world. I'll say it again. When you follow the certainty of God's Word, you don't need the security of this world. So look not to this world to give you confidence. When you sow and you don't reap, sing. Now that's the certainty of the Word, is God says, when you sow and you take nothing, sing. Why? Because you're about to be blessed. Sing, O barren. And you that have brought forth nothing, sing. So for 30-some years, we have sown and sown and sown and sown and sown. And many people have been blessed. Danny, you've been blessed. You've been blessed. And you have no complaints. Nobody would listen. That was the wrong answer. So you can sow all you want. But God is after you. He's not after Michelle. He's not after the kids. Not after your cows. He's after you. He wants your death. He doesn't want you to be great. He wants you to be zero. How's he doing?
Hallelujah.
You see, John the Baptist said it right. He must increase, I must decrease. And until you are done with yourself, you cannot begin the kingdom of God. It isn't like, okay, well, I'll start anyway and just see how it goes. Well, it won't go anywhere. Because the Holy Spirit does not come to give you life. He comes to kill you. Jesus has already forgiven you. And he makes a promise that it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But you have to be prepared to enter into that kingdom. Not only by faith, but also by discipleship. But also by discipleship unto death. So that you are led of the Spirit rather than led of yourself. You are loving one another rather than loving yourself. You can't love others if you still love yourself. Well, how can I do that? Well, easy. If God loves you, then you don't need to love you. If God is loving you, you don't need to love you. If God is taking care of you, you don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to grasp. You don't need to grab. You just need to relax. If God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, then he cannot lie.
Amen.
And he swears by his right hand. If I lie, then I'm not God. Then I cease to be God. I will never trouble you again. So if God ever lies, then he's not God, he's Satan. He's a liar. Satan is a liar from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So God cannot lie. He cannot. So if he says, I love you, then he can't change his mind later. Ah, but I meant I love you if. No. It's too late. Once he tells you he loves you, and he says he'll never leave you or forsake you, as long as you continue to believe that he can't lie, not that you can't, but that he can't, then no matter what you sow, it doesn't matter. Because he said, the good work I've begun in you, I will surely complete. That means everybody here who believes that God can't lie will actually bear fruit. So sing, O barren, you that have not brought forth, cry aloud. Sing as loud as you can. Woo! You're just so excited. Why? Because you're about to bring forth. And then he says that not only that, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your habitation. Spare not. I know when I heard that last year, I thought to myself, 2010 is going to be a bad year. Economically, politically, and socially, things have fallen apart. And many churches are even going to go out of business. And I remember being concerned about that. I was thinking, I could be one of those. We're already, down a little bit. We've spent up all of our surplus. We've already cut our salaries down 25%. We're really hurting. I could be a belly upper. We could, it's like those fish that float in the water and turn belly up. It's not good. When they do that, that's not good. So this could be it. 2010, when major ministries will either go out of business entirely or they will have to cut back severely. Major ministries. They're not going to have a surplus. They'll be begging. They'll be looking. And many, many churches will just go out of business entirely. Oh, I was thinking, Lord, I don't want to go out of business. I know I've sown for 30 years and gotten nothing, but now I don't want to reap that. I like to have a better deal going for me, like a button or something. Good man. Did good. And I was trying to think it out. And the Lord said, it was a rebuke. The Lord said, enlarge the place of your tent. That's Lord. Can't enlarge where you're going down. Kind of silly. You probably didn't mean what you just said. Stretch out the curtains of your habitation. That's cool. That's fun, as though we could pretend, right? No. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out. You're going to have children more. The children of the desolate will be more than the children of the married woman. You're going to have more. More. 2010, God, more. So you see, when God tells you that you're going to have more, the certainty of his word is greater than the security of this world. Don't go by what you think, what you feel, what you want. Go rather by the word of the Lord. That is certain. That word is certain. God cannot lie. If he lies, he is not God. It's over. So I said, okay, what else? And he said, okay, spare not. I wasn't going to go to Uganda. By the way, Sabrina is in, she's one of our Dallas church members. And she's in Uganda right this minute. And she just, a few hours ago, because they're 8 hours ahead, she was in Joel's church, worshiping with Joel, whom we work with. And that was exciting. And so she is really pumped. She's excited. So it's neat. So I said to God, you know, this year, we just don't have the money. The church doesn't have the money. I personally, you know, we lost one third of our retirement and so on and so forth through the stock market and all that nonsense. And we just can't afford it. So I'm going to have to save every penny I've got. I'm not going. And that's when God said, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. I'm about to bless you. Spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. You know, so it's like having a little tent with just you and your wife. And all of a sudden God says, I'm about to bless you with children. I mean, an abundance. So you want to stretch out and move some more curtains, make some more rooms. This will be Ted's room. This will be Alice's room and so on. You want to start making room, and then you lengthen your cords and you strengthen your stakes long before you have the kids. Why? Because by the time they get there, it's too late. You can't bring the baby home and say, hey, we don't even have a crib. Hey, we need to paint this room blue. You know, you actually have to plan ahead of time. Is anybody aware of that?
Yes.
And usually mothers get that nesting instinct, and they know, this car is too small. What? We just barely paid it off. Well, get rid of it. We need a bigger one. Baby's coming. And so dad has to get a second job. I mean, it's just time. Just, hey, put away your little dreams. We got family coming. We're going to have some. In other words, the members of our church will suddenly be impacting the world in such a way that in Dallas and in Fort Worth, those cities will never be the same again, because Christians are truly Christian. So you've sown for 30 years and taken nothing. The mayor still isn't calling. But watch out, because you're about to be blessed. Sing, O barren. Break forth into singing. Why? Because I'm about to give you. Your children will be more than the children of the married woman. There's going to be more. You don't envy that other church over there with a big parking lot and thousands of people. You are going to be blessed more. How many know we're going to be bigger? Yeah. L stupid. That is not true. But God said, I didn't ask you. I'm telling you. You better stretch out. So we did. We did. And what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And God was having a hoot up there. You know, he's having a hoot. Yeah, they did exactly what I told them to do. They made room, painted the church. I mean, I could tell 100 things that happened last year that, you know, people were delivered, set free, given jobs, and all kinds of things happened. But you know what? We still haven't impacted the world. You know why? Because only God can do that. And then he said, you shall break out on the right hand and on the left hand. Now, the right hand always is the spiritual hand. That's where the kingdom of God is. Nothing else. Only the Muslims aren't here. Only Christians that are true Christians. Faith active in love. That kind of Christian. Those kind of Christians that sow and become barren. And then the world is over here, where the light is supposed to shine and where the salt is supposed to have savor, so that the world is drawn to us to say, we repent, we believe, we're ready to obey.
Amen.
That hadn't happened. Now, what God was saying was, you get prepared and I'll provide. My God shall supply all.
Sure.
All. The government, none. The world, nothing. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. So sing, O barren one. Never be discouraged. Never look at what you've sown. Never look at your circumstances. Never look at your marriage. Never look at your business. Never look at anything but the face of the Lord. Seek ye first. Just seek his face. Just seek after him. Waste time. Extravagant time. Incredible time is God. I think I need to hear you. Have you ever done that, by the way? Has anybody ever done that? Say, God, look, I'm so serious about this. I'm going to even fast. I'm going to go without a meal today. I mean, I'm serious. Okay, all right. I'm really serious. I'll go for a whole day without food. Okay, all right. I'm going on a 10-day fast, and I want you to speak to me. You know, I've never really heard you. So I'm this time it's important, and so I'm going to go all the way, be a super, super Christian, be just next to Pastor Jim. Now, and then after 10 days, the only thing that happened was you're hungry. And you've already thought of 3 new cookbooks that you're going to create when you're done. And you didn't hear from the Lord at all. Now, single barren. Because you're going to break out on the right hand, spiritually, and on the left hand. In other words, you'll have an impact on the churches, on other religions, and on the world itself, the social, economic, and political spheres. That is actually what God is doing. And I could tell you miracle after miracle that's happened already. I want that to happen to y'all. That wherever you go, people recognize right away, you are the light.
Amen.
You have light. We don't have. You have knowledge. We don't have. We are ignorant. You know stuff. You have stuff. They've mocked you before. You've been shamed before because you said you were a Christian and then you didn't produce much. Now, they are about to regard you and you are about to be exalted. Not because you're good. Please, don't make that mistake. You're about to be exalted because He has desolated you long enough. It's time now to sing. It's time now to break forth. And when He does, do not be surprised, but make sure you make room. Be prepared. Because when He starts blessing, you'll be destroyed by the success. Nothing has killed churches more than success or businesses. The minute you do well in business, the temptation to corrupt is high. It's so high that it's almost impossible to keep your faith and your simplicity and the wife of your youth. I could say there are 250 families in Dallas and in Fort Worth who would not be married today to the woman they're still married to, except for my personal ministry. I could name them. They come to mind readily. They are major families in Dallas, major families, having big impact on the city. They have stayed with their wives.
Amen.
And they know it. Thank you. Thank you for what the Lord did through you to teach me. It's powerful.
Amen.
Because we don't believe in divorce. We believe once you get married, you have to stick it out and just bear it.
Amen.
I did it with Peg. You have to do it. It was hell, but I did it. I did it, and I thank God. I thank God for a woman who will emasculate you, undermine you, speak against you, and never do what you say. I thank God for that. You see the joy of the Lord? Now, you don't want the wife you want. You don't want the husband you want. You want God to change you so that no matter who you are with, you are a blessing.
Yes.
I don't want Peggy to bear burdens. I want all her burdens. I want all her cares. I want her to get all the blessings. I want me to get none. I don't need any. Why? Because my God hath supplied and will always supply and in such abundance that I don't even need to look for it or ask for it. I just trust Him. Do you all understand that? So when you sow and reap nothing, so what? So what? Sow again. Keep sowing. Why? Because immediately the Lord is saying, don't sow and then not build the barn. Build the barn. Because immediately when you sow, and then He blesses you, what are you going to do with all, let's say 1,000 people came in today. First of all, this room will only hold about 250. But let's say we crammed in 300. There's still another 700 outside. We're not ready. We're not ready. So, but God said, I want you to enlarge. In other words, stop thinking the way you're thinking. I'm about to bless you beyond measure. You've sown for 30 years, taken nothing. Now it's time. Now, do not doubt me. Do not go by what you see or what you think or what you feel or what you know or how circumstances appear. Judge with right judgment. I'm about to bless you. Right hand, left hand, Now, you don't know what God can do. For example, again, I don't want to give examples, just to encourage you. Joel Mukenya from Uganda, he came here years ago, came with a whole bunch of people, and they wanted to go to Potter's House over here. And Joel, but anyway, somebody gave him a place to stay, and he happened to be one of our church members. And so, out of that, they came here. And, I mean, maybe there were, I don't know, 20 of them. I don't remember how many. And when they came, they all said, okay, let's go now over to Potter's House. That's a big one. I don't know how many thousands of people they have. And then he said, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to stay in this little rundown place. And so we, right here in the room next door, we're teaching, and he was so amazed. He went back, and he was going to leave the ministry. He went back, and he decided to stay in the ministry, told his wife, well, let's start again. Let's do it one more time. Today he has 8 million people under his headship. And what do they teach? Our teaching.
Amen.
They have our tapes, they have our books, and so on. And Joel calls me Daddy. Of course, he's bigger than I am. And bigger than I am. Nevertheless, that's my boy. Now, so just that one person over there has so impacted that nation, that's almost one-third of the nation. So they're hearing him on the radio. He has 50 churches right there in the capital, 50 ministers underneath him. Those are all his churches. And hundreds, there are 37,000 churches underneath him. 8 million people. You see, when God wants you to accomplish something, he can do anything on radio, television, books, teachings, persons. It doesn't make any difference. God knows how to do things quickly. That nation is being impacted. Six of us went. Clay, where is Clay? Where are you? There you are. Clay and Jane. No, who else went? Scott in the back. I'll tell you, it was life-changing, was it not, Scott? It's life-changing. Clay? No. Why? Because we went there because we were nobody, and we didn't even know what we were going to do. And everybody, not only because they had so many churches to go to, they had to use Clay and Scott and anybody, just anybody. You know, it's just, if you were an American coming over, you were wonderful. And, of course, you knew nothing because the guys would say, I don't know what to say. Well, just go and fumble. Just go, because they just think, you know, you have something to say. And sure enough, we impacted that nation. David, you were also with us. And so it was the most powerful impact on that whole nation. And we were able then to witness and to share with the pastors and so on. That place is not the same. And that's why Sabrina's there right now, because of what God has done. I'm just telling you, India, Russia, China, I don't care where you go. Our tapes, our books, our message is going out. God wants us to be light and salt in this world.
Amen.
Sing, O barren. You'll break out on the left. You'll break out on the right. You're going to have so many children. It's going to be unbelievable. Your church members, Dallas and Fort Worth, are going to so impact this world. Us? I don't think so. We can say Yahoo. But, you know, by the way, all over Africa, that's what people do now. When they see me, they just go, that's the Yahoo man. I just greet them in a Texas style. I just tell them, because they make a lot of noise. The Africans make a lot of noise, you know. So, but my yeehaw gets right above. And so there they are, and miracles, signs, wonders, the dead are raised, all kinds of powerful things happen. They can happen here too. The issue is, are you ready for the blessing? Are you ready? Because God wants you to be dead to yourself and alive to God in Christ Jesus. He wants you to be mature. Nobody sees the salt or the light unless you're a mature Christian. They can't see it if there's no light. The fact that you believe doesn't mean anything. The fact that you believe is only the beginning. Then you have to be discipled until you're dead. And then you're able to be led. Unless you're dead, you can't be led. So you can only be led by God if you're no longer dragging him. Here's God dragging all of his people behind him. He says, hang on, we're about to do something here. And you cannot stop God from winning, you see. And he won't let you go. He wants you to hang on. but he also wants to renew you and change you until you realize you're incapable. You just don't have the capacity to do what God wants you to do. And yet, you will do it, because he promised, he swore, he said, I will do it. You're not chosen because you're good, you're chosen because he's good. You're not chosen because you're smart, you're chosen because he is wise. You're not chosen because you're capable, it's because when you're weak, he's strong.
Amen.
Now God is about to take your weakness, your ignorance, and your impotence, and to do things to his glory for his name's sake. Why? Because the time has come. And he told us last year, get ready. Now, if you aren't ready, you're not ready. But if you got ready, and how do you get ready? Just by indicating I'm not ready. That's how you get ready. You just go, okay, well, I'm not ready. And then that's it. That's all he wanted, was someone to just surrender to him to say that I'm about to do something. Because if you take the glory, I can't do it. I'm not going to call you in order for you to be great, or you to be powerful, or you to brag and boast. I want all the glory. I want all the glory. I don't want you to have any glory at all. I want all the glory. And then what does God do when he gets all the glory? He gives it to you for free.
Oh.
He doesn't want you to earn it. He wants to just give it to you. But you're not going to get glory on your own. You cannot. That would be something unacceptable to God. God wants all the glory so he can just give it to you. Because you are like children. He wants you to do nothing, to say nothing, to be nothing, except his words, his deeds, his being. Now, then God is going to take us and go someplace. Now, let me see if we're barren. How many people are you impacting? You're impacting your kids.
Oh, yeah.
So that's 4? 3? Seems like 4. New daughter-in-law. There you go. It's good. That's powerful. Well, those children that you've sown into will have a huge impact on the kids around them, on their own generation. They'll have a huge impact on them. Why? Because you sowed with the Lord. Your husband is not Danny. Your husband is the Lord. Because the Lord, your God, your maker, he is your husband. The reason you don't have children is not because you're married and just couldn't, or because you're single and therefore didn't. The reason is God has to be the one that brings forth the seed that he's talking about. He has to be your husband. Now, we have to be the wife. A wife is submitted to her husband. A wife is completely submitted. In other words, Peggy always does what I say. Well, that's probably not true. Let me think. Submission does not mean Peggy does what I say. You know what it means? This is submission. Pay close attention. This is submission. I don't want to. See, she's submitted. That means she submitted to me what she wanted. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. See, that's a beautiful submission. Or here's another one. I don't feel like it. See, there, she's submitting her feelings. I don't feel like I should. I don't want to. I don't feel like I should. So now she's told me her desires. Now she's told me her feelings. The next thing is, I don't think you're right. See, she's submitting. You see how she's submitting? She just tells me whatever she wants, because she gets all the blessing, I get all the burden. So she'll tell me at any time what she doesn't want, or what she just bears herself, just opens herself up. So I don't think you're right there. That's wrong. And she just criticized like that. But I don't take it as criticism. I take it as constructive. Do y'all see that? She's blessing me. See, she just disguised it in funny wrapping, but I knew it was somehow to build me up. Amen? Because why would God give me anything but a perfect wife? Amen? Peg is the perfect wife. Amen?
Yes,
but even more amazing, I am the perfect husband. I think that surprises some of you. I think that it's a surprise, you know? Tell him, Peg. I have to pay her now. No. Why am I perfect? I'm not. I'm not at all. But I am. Because God can use anybody at any time as long as you're dead. As long as you've repented and say, God, I can do nothing apart from you. But I can do all things through you.
Yeah.
And your purpose is to take somebody, anybody, at any time, under any circumstances, no matter what's happened to you, no matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how barren you are, no matter how fruitless you are, God wants you to be in the forefront of his kingdom. It's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's his good pleasure. He wants you to be mighty in this world, not just in heaven, in this world, to impact this world, to change the society, to change the economy, to change the political situation. Why? So that they'll be better? No. Only to show them the foolishness of what they're doing apart from God. Only to show them the incapacity that they have with all the things that they've been given. They have ruined everything. They don't know how to lead. They don't know how to rule. Do you understand that? Only Jesus. He's the one. Unless you realize that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He owns it all. He runs it all. The whole world was made by him and for him. And you're not going to be able to go off on your own. I loved TCU yesterday. Did y'all see that? The quarterback got up and said, he didn't just say, I give glory to God, I thank God. You know what he said? 2 Peter 5:13. You know, he just quoted the thing right there and embarrassed everybody.
Oh, well.
Well, those Texans are stupid. Yeah? We just won. So everybody was kind of like fascinated. Like, those guys were grinning from ear to ear. You know, and they were just like, yeehaw! Because, why? Because little guys beat the big guys. That's why. And that was their whole message. They knew there's no reason we should win. But we don't care. We don't care because God will give us the wisdom, the strength, the power, the capacity to win. And they did. They went out there and just battled like that. I just love the other team. When they get the ball, they just run right through all those guys. And Texas, they just be flat, you know. And they just come through. Every time ball would come through or whatever, they just mow them down. Yet we won. It doesn't matter how much we won, we won. It was big. Why? Because, you know what? We know what they said? We watched them. We learned from watching them. We saw their strengths. They had a tremendous power. And they could just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. But what we did was we went and sacked. We learned what their strengths were, but we also saw what their Achilles heel was. And we learned, they do it this way every time or whatever. And they outsmarted them. You see that? Even though they didn't have the strength that the other team had, they had the wisdom, and they gave God the glory. I tell you, even the coach, it was exciting. I mean, I don't know if you watched it. It was fun to watch. As a matter of fact, I was in my office praying and studying, and Peg said, Jim, you got to get out here. No, I've got a sermon tomorrow, and I got to get with God. Get out here. Peg, that's football, frivolous. No, it's TCU. You got to see it. They're undefeated. This is going to be big. Heck, I don't want to watch it. I want to do this. I got lots to do. It's a new year. Get out here. So there you have it. She was submitting. She was disagreeing with me. So I did. I went out there, and I was fascinated. In fact, I was the one calling the plays. I don't know if you know that. This is God's truth. I would see them, you know, how the other team would just mow them down and so on. And I'd say, get in there and sack him. Go on the right side. You know, and exactly what happened. Peggy, isn't that true? Over and over again. Okay, this time, before it even happened, go all the way. Go on, you know, whatever. They would do it. It was kind of stupid, but, you know, it worked. I don't think they'll probably give me the credit. But the best is yet to come. Now, I'm going to close with this last verse. No weapon fashioned against you will prosper. So anybody who's mocking you or laughing at you or saying, where are your kids? Where's your fruit? What have you done? No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Now, a weapon in the Hebrew, it means an instrument. It's an instrument. So this weapon or instrument is something that a soldier would have, maybe a sword or maybe a spear or something that he would have, a utensil that he would form or fashion. No weapon formed or fashioned, so it's something out of metal, will ever prosper against you. In other words, whatever the devil wants, and the world would just disappear. The reason why there's any hope of good government at all is not because we deserve it. It's because God wants it. How can God judge this world if he doesn't have an example of what he had in mind to judge them by? No, he's going to have. I'm sorry for those that think we might just disappear. The Antichrist is going to come and swallow up everything. Not at all. Quite the opposite. Not only is God going to win economically, politically, and socially, but spiritually, because the church is the light of the world, because the church is the salt of the earth, because the church is the leaven in the lump, because we are here to win multitudes to the kingdom of God. This year is going to be a year of evangelism. It's going to be a year of great growth. God is going to put us into shape. Why? Because if you're not ready when they come in, they're not used to our sloppiness and stuff. They want to see the thing done just right. Exactly right. How many know we're the wrong group to say that of? This is the wrong group. This is the wrong group. But it doesn't matter, because our God is an awesome God. Our God will cause you to come on time, for example. Me to shorten my message, which will be another miracle. And God is going to do it all. Why? Because we are geared for God doing a great thing in this world. And what he's about to do is so amazing. He's just telling us ahead of time, get ready, because now I'm going to begin doing it. And when he does, you've got to be prepared. You've got to realize you cannot just think of the past or think of how it's been or think of, you know, where America's going or whatever. You don't need to worry about any of that. The certainty of the word is greater than the security in circumstances or in this world. You don't need security. What you need is certainty. Did God say? Did God say? The very question that Satan asked Adam and Eve, did God say? Once God has spoken, it's over. Now, he said, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's it. If he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, that's it.
Amen.
If he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete, that's it. If he said, he always leads you in triumph, that's it. When God speaks, it's over. It isn't like he's going to change his mind. He cannot. Once he says, this is it, then it's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why my marriage is solid. The church is solid. Everything about us is solid. The underlying pavement is so strong, it's a rock that no man can move. God is about to show forth now the glory of his kingdom. Why? Because you have been barren. If you had not been barren, if you had not borne the heat of the day and taken nothing, if you had not learned that apart from me you can do nothing, I mean learned it, not just believed it, but learned it by experience. There's nothing we can do apart from him. But in him, we can do all things. All what things? All things that he desires. His holy purposes. His sovereign purposes. I don't care what other ministers are preaching. This is the truth. God is going to grow us up. We're justified, sanctified, and glorified until this world sees what God said it should and ought to see. He's not going to leave this world as it is. He cannot leave this world as it is. He created the world by his power. Now he's creating it out of his person, out of his glorious self, so that we are like unto him. We are actually able to speak his words, do his deeds, have his kind of marriages, have his kind of church, have his kind of impact on this world. Jesus Christ was the light of the world. He's now in you. You are about to do great and wondrous things. Do you believe that, David? You personally. Louise. Ginny. Yeah? You. Powerful. Powerful. Why? Because God is not a respecter of persons. God will take anybody who believes that he can't lie. Amen? So all your children shall be taught of the Lord. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. In other words, that's what we're doing, is teaching. It doesn't mean teaching. Teaching doesn't mean teaching. Teaching means discipling, mentoring, changing, altering the lifestyle. That if you're a believer, you can't just stay a believer. You also have to become a disciple and then become dead and then to live. Walk in love, being led of the Spirit, saying his words, doing his deeds, just like Jesus. The best has been saved to the last. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Why? Because every tongue that rises up in judgment against you, you shall condemn. Not only that, this is the heritage of the saints. What is it? What's the heritage? What is it that we'll possess? What is it that we'll acquire? What is it that's ours? This is it. What? That no weapon fashioned against you can prevail. That everything that God said, this earth is going to be yours. The meek shall inherit the earth. you are about to see before the Lord returns. Before the Lord returns, not after He returns. Before the Lord returns, you're about to see the church come alive. Now, I'm a prophet. I'm prophesying. I'm telling you that right now what I just taught you will be taught everywhere. Everywhere. Why? Because the word that He gives, He has not finished. He takes the little guy, just like TCU said, takes the little guy and He does great and glorious things. He takes the big guy and puts him down.
Uh-huh.
So the ministries that are up may well be down. The ministries that are down may well be up. It's God's preparation to make you desolate. You aren't desolate because you sowed and couldn't reap. You are desolate because God intended you not to reap yet. You're reaping spiritual things now. Deep down, no one can see it. But all of a sudden, you'll come forth. And when it comes forth, people will be amazed. Do not, by the way, when He blesses, do not smile. As though I did that.
Yeah.
I was the one that believed that. No, do not take credit. It has nothing to do with your goodness, nothing to do with your brilliance, nothing to do with your greatness and glory. It has everything to do with God's certainty, His word, His promise. He can't lie. That's what it's all about. And He's building a kingdom right now out of anybody. He's a good Texan. Y'all come. I'm having a barbecue, you're coming. You know, and that kind of attitude on God's part is anybody can be Christian. Anybody can join His kingdom. But multitudes will not. Only a remnant will actually end up at the party. But God's intention, and by the way, there'll be a numberless group, so, you know, don't worry about it. There's plenty of people that God is going to have. But right now is the end of the end of the end. We are about to see the goodness and glory of God. Isn't this a ridiculous message? No, it's not. It happens to be the truth. You're going to see things happen. Even the world is going to be amazed at the kingdom of God. Is Satan going to come forth? Of course. Is he going to have an antichrist? Of course. Not his time yet. First, God is going to go and reap what's left, and then the devil can have his time, and then God will come back, and He will establish His kingdom. So right now is God about to establish us, just personally. I don't know about any other church. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of other churches. I don't have a word for them. I only know what God told me. Dallas, Fort Worth. What He's going to do in this area is going to have a major impact on these cities, on this state, on this nation, on this world. I know that. I believe that. Of course, I could be wrong. Just thought I'd mention that. I have been wrong so many times, and I'm so used to failure that it becomes now second nature to me. Oh, yeah, well, I just got carried away there. I just spoke out. No, God is about to keep His word. The one thing that's solid is not me. The one thing that's solid is God.
Yeah.
It's in the Word. It's in the Word. Martin Luther built the whole Reformation on the perspicacity of Scripture, which means the clarity of that Word to convict. He didn't care what the Roman Catholic Church said. He didn't care what the, you know, the people, the political leaders of the day or the military people. He just said one thing. It is written. It's over. That's what made the Reformation. It's written. It's written. He wrote it down so that you would never doubt, so that you would never be afraid. You'd never be ashamed. You'd never worry. And no matter how it looks, God is about to do His greatest, most formidable work. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that the heritage, the possession of the saints is Your desire. And so we just give You praise as we worship You now, as we worship You with all our heart and all our soul, and be part of Your glorious kingdom, that You will make these words come alive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Yeah.